Meditating on the sufferings of the lower realms is something that initially, when we're new to our practice, we might find very uncomfortable. The whole topic of the lower realms of hell is an unpopular topic in general. People don't like to hear about it. People don't like to talk about it. People feel embarrassed if people raise it. Maybe they think people who believe in hell are very simple-minded. But the more we understand about the mind, the more we understand the relationship between the mind and its objects, how everything is created by mind, a manifestation of mind, like a dream. The more we understand that, of course, hell realms exist. We've produced them in our mind already. We've visited in our mind, in our dreams, these hell realms. We've seen them with our eyes in our world, these hell realms bursting into the human realm. In Great Treasury of Merit, Venerable Geshe-la makes this point where he says, dying and taking rebirth in the hells is like falling asleep and experiencing an unending nightmare. Suppose we were to fall asleep and dream of falling into a terrifying abyss in which all kinds of hideous monsters and cruel torturers began attacking us and inflicting unbearable pain. But instead of waking up, we stayed in that dream for an inconceivably long time. We would, to all intents and purposes, be in hell. Similarly, when we die, all the appearances of this life vanish and are replaced by the dreamlike appearances of the intermediate state. If heavy negative karma has ripened, we will feel as if we are plunging into a dark and terrifying abyss, being dragged down by hideous creatures who are delighting in our discomfort and inflicting all sorts of excruciating pain upon us. These nightmarish appearances will get worse and worse, and will go on, appearing to last for an eternity. This is hell. The hells are not places with distinct geographical locations, nor do they exist from their own side. They are merely appearances to an impure mind, just like a nightmare. Insofar as they are both appearances to mind, pure lands and hell realms are the same. Pure lands are appearances to pure minds that can be seen only by those who have attained pure view, and hell realms are appearances to impure minds that are seen by those who have heavy negative karma ripening. So when we first, most of us, when we first start practicing Dharma, we don't have a sense of beyond this life. You know, maybe we're stressed. Maybe we're looking for a way to calm our mind. We want to live our ordinary life, but have a sort of pleasant addition, like our meditation practice is intended to just augment our ordinary life, make it a little bit more comfortable and enjoyable. We're a long way from there now, obviously, in this stage, in this point, because we're choosing to focus on things that initially are unsettling. And when I say initially are unsettling, it is important to recognize that when we actually find the object of meditation, of any of the meditations that we're taught in the Kadampa tradition, that object is something that is comfortable. The mind can relax into it. Even the object of meditation of the suffering of the lower realms. Now, in this meditation, as with the meditation on death, all of our worldly concerns disappear. Our mind has this very crystal clear focus. We realize very clearly what we need to do. We need to protect ourselves from the sufferings of our future lives. We realize it is not enough just to worry about the things of this life. This life inevitably will soon disappear. What is of much greater concern is what's happening in our future lives. Like Milarepa said, he said, there are many more fears in future lives than in this one. Have you prepared protection for your future lives? So this meditation changes the way we relate to our life. It changes the way we respond to all of the different situations we encounter. Everything is focused towards protecting our mind from these dangers of future lives. In the Mirror of Dharma, with additions, Venerable Geshe-la shares a special meditation on renunciation, an uncommon meditation on renunciation, what is an oral instruction. And when he was explaining this meditation, which is a very powerful meditation, like it is very strong medicine, when he was explaining this meditation to the small group that he assembled, the Genlas, that he gave the transmission directly to, he explained that when he left Tibet and he entered into retreat in the foothills of the Himalayas, he gathered from all of the different teachings and instructions he had received from his spiritual guide, Trijang Rinpoche, he gathered their essence. He distilled all of the different techniques, all of the different methods for developing renunciation into one clear, simple contemplation, which he used to gain a realization of renunciation. And like a kind father, he shares this meditation with us. It may be that initially it's too powerful for us and too, our mind rebels against it. Well, the struggle people have when they meditate on the sufferings of the lower realms is about our mind not wanting to accept that it's true, thinking, I wish it wasn't like that. All these kind of, we're in conflict with truth. We're in conflict with the meditation. Once that conflict is resolved and we accept Buddha isn't lying to us, Buddha isn't just making this up, Buddha has no interest in scaring us. The only reason why Buddha would tell us about these dangers is because we can protect ourselves from them, because they're very real. He's seen us. Buddha, Buddha is outside the wheel of life. Buddha is watching over all of us, trying to get through, trying to say, you need to get to nirvana, you need to get to liberation, watching us life after life. His heart breaking as he watches us go through again and again the sufferings of the hell realms for what seems like an eternity, only to be reborn somewhere else and continue to create the causes to return there. He's watched us go through all of these sufferings. He knows how real this is. And he knows that we can protect ourselves from it. And so the meditation that Venerable Geshe-la practiced and this oral instruction that he gives us, he says, we imagine and think, today, as a human being, I enjoy human conditions. And tonight, I go to sleep as a human being. But during sleep, due to karma and other circumstances, my breathing stops completely. Then tomorrow, instead of waking up as a human being, I reach a place pervaded by fire. And my body becomes inseparable from fire. I am reborn in hell, where I will experience unbearable pain for millions of years. So we are using our imagination, we are practicing self-generation as a hell being. And perhaps many of you have received tantric empowerments and are used to practicing self-generation as a deity, as an enlightened being. as Haruka or Vajrayogini. And maybe we enjoy that very much. Maybe we enjoy imagining ourselves enlightened, imagining ourselves with tremendous ability to lift others from their suffering such that our whole world is pure and every experience is uncontaminated bliss. And it's a wonderful practice. It's a very, very important practice. But for as long as our motivation remains about the happiness of this life, we can imagine all of these wonderful things and it won't lead us to our enlightenment. Now, which is why in Joyful Path of Good Fortune, Venerable Geshe says it can be much more beneficial to do this meditation as a lower realm being than to imagine ourselves as an enlightened being. Until our motivation is pure, until we have renunciation.